There are spiritual realities to addiction and there are psychological realities. And in this theme this week, I Believe But I'm Addicted, we're going to look at the spiritual realities behind addiction and following that, the psychological realities. Thanks for joining me today. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, the good news of the gospel, the good news of how Jesus speaks into our soul through his Holy Spirit and gives us a comfort and a light and a brightness that begin to dissipate, to slowly fade the addictive powers that we might be held to. So stay with me for the next 10 minutes or so, and you will be blessed. Now we're going to look at what addiction is, both from a spiritual level and then from a psychological level. Very often we divide ourselves and we just can't make sense of it, of life, when we do. What is addiction? At a deep core, what is addiction? At the deepest core of our being, what is addiction? Now, of course, from simply a definition point of view, we might say that addiction is an escape, a regular habit that we have turned into a regular escape from the pain that we endlessly experience. And as we keep escaping, that escape becomes very big, very large, larger than life itself. It develops a life of its own, and slowly we identify ourselves with our addiction. Well, that, one might say, is a simple definition of it. But we need to get insight from God's Word to understand what addiction really is. Now, first of all, we need to remember that just because you are addicted, you are no worse than anybody else. The fact is that all humanity is in a state of addiction because all humanity is this side of the fall from beauty and innocence and perfection, the fall into brokenness and sin. That has led to an awful separation from God for all of us. Yes, we may have faith now, but still we are not actually there with God, are we? Yes, he is with us. We are with him in spirit and by faith, but our human nature is broken and separated from him. That separation, if we could only understand it, is unbearable. Our being has lost its center. At the core, there is a void, an emptiness, and we run from that emptiness and we try to fill it with all kinds of other things because it is so painful. Now, since we have the Word of God, and since we know the Word of God is from God, then we can begin to understand ourselves better, and we will take for this, in order to understand the spiritual nature of addictions, Romans 1 verse 18. Remember, this is not just for people who have an addiction to drugs, or alcohol, or sex, or food, or gambling, or whatever. It is for all humankind, and it says here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now don't think God is mad as hell with you and hates you and is about to drop you into hell. That's not what this message is. The message is that God is love, and his love is so great that he wants to share his glory and his beauty and his joy with you forever. But mankind, listen there, verse 18 again, who suppress the truth, mankind suppresses the truth. And so God, in his tough love, gives us a bit of wrath. We'll see what that is in a minute. But first of all, you have to understand that all mankind is in a state of suppression. How many times have I said this? How important it is to grasp it. Doesn't matter whether you go to church a lot. Doesn't matter whether you have lots of rituals and ceremonies in your religious experience. Doesn't matter even whether you're a believer. in one way or another, you and I are suppressing us, God. You know, when I first came across this years ago, I just couldn't accept this about me. I was a struggling addict, yet I was open to God. I prayed to Him. I searched for Him. I pled with Him to deliver me. I couldn't accept that I was suppressing God. But in fact, I was using my very religious exercises, praying and reading the Bible and pleading with God and fasting and saying, "Oh God, please help me," very neurotic prayers. They were all really an exercise in suppression. Because the true God, with His love and His tenderness and His forgiveness and His care, I dare not believe in. I had to suppress Him. So all human beings are in a state of suppression. Now, what does that lead us to? You remember that one of the Psalms says, "You are life, and in your light we see light." You see, God was meant to be the joy of our soul, the fullness of our heart, pleasure evermore. That's what God was meant to be. But when we suppressed Him, and the whole human race suppressed Him, our souls became dark. You might say, why did we suppress Him? What is that thing about suppressing Him? We suppress Him because at the core of our being we have something else, guilt and shame and fear. It's not all our guilt. It can be Adam's guilt. Adam loaded the human race with sorrow and grief and guilt. And we're carrying it around all the time. And since we have so much guilt and shame and fear, we think that God is out to get us. We feel guilty before Him, ashamed before Him, afraid of Him. And we think if He gets near to us, He'll destroy us. Even as Christians, we believe that. There is something in us that believes that God is sinister, even while we are attempting to believe that He is good. That He's dangerous, even while we are attempting to believe that He's safe. And so we suppress. Now, God, in His grief and His love for us, is so saddened that we repress Him, that we push Him down. The word suppress here, by the way, is to hold God down, to hold down the truth. How do we do it? By all our stuff, by all our addictions, by all our behaviors. We just stuff Him. Now, something happens when we do that. And it says in verse 21, they knew God, yet they didn't glorify Him as God, and they weren't thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So there's something that happens to us when we suppress God. It is that we ourselves become futile, which means meaningless, purposeless. We lose our sense of purpose, our sense of being and what it's all about. They became futile, purposeless, empty in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That is the heart that is the seedbed for addiction. That is the mind that is the seedbed for addiction. It's just empty because we've blocked, you see. And so what do we do with such emptiness? The tragedy is we don't go running back to God. What we do is revealed in verse 23. Verse 22 says, they professed to be wise but became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature. Here is something quite startling. It says, we don't reject God. Nobody rejects God. They simply exchange Him. Having suppressed Him, pushed Him out of their mind and heart, we're desperate for something else. So we change him, we exchange him for something else. And what do we do with that something else that we choose, whether it's alcohol or food or drugs or sex? What do we do with it? We worship it. Having exchanged the truth of God for a lie, they worship and serve the creature. And so that's verse 25 of Romans 1, and that tells you then, number one, that man was born to worship. He has a deep, innate drive within him to fall down and worship the creator of the universe, the glory and the beauty of God himself. But because that is suppressed, then there is an emptiness and a desire to find the same joy and qualities in the worship of God in something else. And so we take our objects, our drug of choice, and we actually expect that drug of choice to give us the qualities of the divine, the qualities of something deeply, profoundly spiritual. And you and I know, if we've been in addiction at all, that drugs and sex and alcohol and food issues, they somehow are attempts to satisfy deep spiritual longings within the soul. That is what addiction is all about, on the spiritual level. It is trying to project upon things and objects of choice qualities of the divine, so that somehow I can fulfill my empty soul with them. So what's the reverse order of all this? We open our hearts to God. In the moment when an addiction drags us and wants to pull us in, even if we go there, we talk to God. Father, you are here. I'm not going to suppress you. Whether I overcome this thing right now or fail in it and go into it, I will talk with you. I will commune with you. I will not walk away from you, for to walk away from you is a darkness I cannot bear. Just over a couple of weeks away from our next seminar, Saturday the 25th of October, I believe, but it's all the other stuff. And you know, what we're going to do at this seminar is to expand a little on some of the radio broadcasts so that you can get more detail in person with me, listening to me in person, as well as relating to me with questions, and I relating to you with questions. Interactive teaching, that is, at this seminar. I believe, but it's all the other stuff. How many people, how many of us have walked away from God at one time or another because the stuff in the world and in our lives was too overwhelming? We are going to learn how our faith in Christ can know grace in chaos. So I invite you to join me on Saturday, the 25th of November. I believe, but where is God? Or I'm mad at God, or my life makes no sense, or I worry all the time, or I can't stop doubting, or why all this suffering? We start at 9:30, and we go till 3 with a break for lunch. And where? La Quinta Inn in Lakewood. That's 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood, the South Frontage Road. Bring a donation if you can. Recommended is $60 to $100, but don't worry if you can't afford that. Bring what you can, and if you can't afford anything, bring yourself, because you deserve and need the blessing. All right, I believe, but it's all the other stuff. The thorns, maybe? The thorns that are blocking your faith? I believe, but it's all the other stuff. Saturday, the 25th of October, 9:30 in the morning at La Quinta Inn. Look forward to seeing you then, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.